thing in there, and I'll show you what the answer is, a big no. Be patient, though, because these laws have been deliberately written in very convoluted way that you have to go from here to there to here to there to there, here, 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 here. And this one refers to that. This one refers to this. That's the kind of a game they play to deceive the American people, folks. Please be patient. And I will make it as plain as I can for all of you to see it for yourself. Before I go on, I want to invite you to go to Fear of Law School's website. If you have not done so, at livefreenow.org. Here's our website. And by the way, this Saturday, I'm doing an all-day seminar in Tampa, Florida from 9 to 5 p.m., February 29th. The last chance, folks, for you to come at the door. Too late to pre-register unless you want to come in person. And do it tomorrow, Friday, the last day. But come to that seminar all day, 9 to 5. I'll answer a lot of your questions. Explain a lot of things about the IRS, lies and fraud and solutions for you, my friend. I got a lot of time. And, of course, be sure to sign up for your free Freedom Education Package by getting started here below and put yourself on our email list, because one of these days, folks, who knows, YouTube may cut us off and you will not be able to get our education material emailed to you. These lessons will be sent to you by email that you see right here on the left-hand side. And a free Freedom Education Package will be mailed to you at no charge, including, folks, what I'm going to show you is our fabulous new 2020 Freedom Catalog, folks, which is the best Freedom Catalog I've ever done. 32 pages of beautiful full color, you know, very good quality thick paper, folks, explaining about the law and your rights. IRS fraud exposed. It's just a fantastic tool to reach out to your friends, neighbors, family members, help them wake up to get out of the matrix of lies and deception that's surrounding you, including our income tax reward of $300,000, which has been on for 20 years, and no one has been able to successfully collect it. Even his law professor failed to do so. Anyhow, we're going to get to the subject at hand, folks. And I'm so excited about the fact that these days, folks, we can look up these laws together on the internet. And I always tell you and everybody out there, do not believe me. A government bureaucrat, government worker, or someone else on the internet, look up and read the law for yourself on the internet now and follow the law as published by legislature lawmakers and by the Supreme Court as they interpreted these laws if there's a question about the meaning and the scope. So IRS spies out there, you can go pound sand or be open-minded, my IRS agent, friends inside, the good people, a few of you out there who are spying on me, and become part of the truth movement and get the truth out there to everybody else out there. Come out, IRS agents. Let's come out of the lying matrix to side of the truth and freedom and educate the American people. Okay? Now, so folks, first thing you need to know is that the federal laws in America, we have 50 states and one federal government. They're published in a set of laws called the United States Code. 54 categories right now of federal laws. Each category is on a different subject. I'm going to show you right now on my screen. Here it is. You go type on your computer uscode.house.gov. Here it is, uscode.house.gov. You're going to get to this page, which is U.S. House of Representatives, Office of the Law Revision Council, United States Code. That is the lawyers of the government, as it says right here, who published, lawyers of House of Representatives who published the laws of the federal government for everybody to know and correctly follow. So this is the first page you'll come up if you look it up on the internet, uscode.house.gov. As you scroll down, you can browse the categories. Category, for example, 7 is on agriculture. Category 10 is on armed forces. You know, category 17 is on copyrights. And look at category or title 26, Internal Revenue Code. If you put your mouse on that, click on this link or the plus sign left of it, doesn't matter either way, and you right click on that, open that link in a new tab, you're going to get the results right here. It opens up that. Here we go, title 26 is opened up now. And you see it's divided into various subtitles A through K. Okay. Now, in the subtitles in title 26, we want to go to subtitle C, employment taxes, right? So, again, if you right click on that or the plus sign or open that link in a new tab, here you see we're just going to open up subtitle C. Here it is, folks. I got subtitle C opened up for you, which is now divided into chapters 21 through chapter 25. So now within these chapters, okay, what you want to know is chapter 24 first. We're going to start with chapter 24, folks. That to me is the most important to start with. We're going to go to some of the other ones a little bit as well. Chapter 24 is collection of income tax at source on wages. That's what you want to know about, right? Excuse me. Most of you are, are employees working for somebody, and the company you work for as an employer believes that they're required to withhold from your wages taxes, right? Collection of that. Well, there it is. Let's look it up together. So we're going to, again, put our mouse on this chapter 24 language. Right-click on it, open that link in a new tab, and we get the result right here. Again, chapter 24 now is further opened up. Collection of income tax at source on wages. Section 3401 to 3456. We're going to go down to section 3401, definitions. Definitions are key, folks, absolutely key. So we know definitions, and again, right-click on that, open that link in a new tab, and there it is. Section 3401, definitions, right? Then you go scroll down on section 3401, and folks, let me tell you, I'm going to get you right away to the most important key part of a definition, that everything builds on that definition. This is a definition of the term employee. Based upon that is employer defined. Wages is defined. Employment is defined. All these terms, employment, wages, and employer, are based upon the term employee. So here we go. Let's go take a look at that. Now we have to scroll down. This is a big section. 3401 defines wages. We'll come back to it later on. Let's go down to see what is an employee. And you'll notice a very long, specific definitions in here, folks. Very long and confusing. But I like C, employee, is very short and sweet defined. What is it? For the purposes of this chapter, what is the chapter, folks? Right? This chapter is on collection of tax and wages, right? On wages. The term quote unquote employee, look at that, includes an officer, employee, or elected official of the United States, estates, or any political subdivision thereof, any political subdivision of the state or United States, or the District of Columbia, okay, or any agency or instrumentality of anyone or more of the foregoing of any state, United States, or D.C., right? The term employee also includes an officer of a corporation, Okay. So that's key, right? Because as I told you, and I promised you, you will see. This is critical. Employee, to your surprise, is a very limited definition. Employee is not someone that works for McDonald's or Walmart or Facebook. Oh, no, 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 no. Look at that definition. It's going to shock you, and you're going to have to absorb this truthful information who goes against the lies you've been told. Okay? Look at that. So the term employee includes officer, employee, or elected official of the United States. A state, this is it, folks. Anybody that is an officer, employee of the United States or state or Washington, D.C., or any other agencies. That's it. Not the average American. Because look at this. The term employer now builds upon that. That for the purposes of this chapter, right, employer means the person for whom an individual performs or perform any service of whatever nature as the employee of such person. There it goes. The employee is the key. Employee basically someone who has an employer has an employee, which is, again, a federal government officer, employee, or elected official. Right? We go back up to now on this to A, wages. What is wages? Definitions, right? Here it is, wages, folks. For the purpose of this chapter, the term wages means all remuneration, right, for services performed by an employee for his employer, including whatever, right? It's all based upon who is the employee we just showed you. Wages is based upon employee, so is employer. Now, what we're going to do now, we're going to go to the next one here. We're going to go look at these subchapters that we had opened up, and we're going to go and tax on employees, subchapter A, and a little bit later on, we go to subchapter B, on tax on employers. We're going to cover both, tax on employees half, and tax on employers half, okay? So we're going to go put our mouse on the tax on employees part, right click, open that link in a new tab, and here it is. Tax employees, and here's section 3101, rate of tax, right? And 3102, deduction of tax from wages, right? Let's go open up section 3101. We open that 3101 section, and here it is, folks. I have it open for you. What does it say? Section 3101 says, in addition to other taxes, fine, there is hereby imposed on the income of every individual, a tax equal to 62% of the wages, what wages? As defined in subsection 3121A, received by the individual with respect to employment, as defined in section 3121B. Whoa! Remember section 3121A? Guess what, folks? That's what we just talked about. That was wages, which is what employer pays the employee. An employee is basically someone within the federal government. So all of this, tax, okay, tax imposed 60% on wages of federal government people. It's right there in front of us to see. Let's go to the next section now, and we're going to go to 3102, deduction from wages. Open that also on a new tab, and I have it open for you already. Here it is. Deduction from wages. The tax imposed by section 3101 we just read shall be collected by the employer, right, of the taxpayer by deducting the amount of the tax from the wages as and when paid. Again, The key term is employer, right? And employer and wages, which are both dependent upon the word employee, which we showed you earlier is the someone within the federal government, United States, state, or instrumentality. By the way, I'll show you later on, the United States and state is not the 50 states. Hang in there. We'll get to that a little bit later on, my friends. Let's go to more. Let's go to more of this stuff, okay? Here we are. We're going to go under subchapter B now, tax on employers, right? Here, tax on employers, you got rate of tax on section 3111. Let's go look at that. Right click on that, open that link in a new tab. And here it is, folks. Rate of tax, section 3111. What does it say? Same nine language, right? There is hereby imposed on every employer an excise tax. What's an employer? Someone who hires an employee, which is the government agency, basically, that hires somebody in the federal government, okay, with respect to having individuals in his employ. Yep, tax equal to 6.2% of wages, as defined in Section 3121, paid by the employer with respect to employment, as defined in Section 3121B, which I will show you later on. 3121B, employment is, again, same thing. You know, same kind of definitions they got. Very restricted decisions, definitions. These definitions do not apply, obviously, to any of you who live and work within the 50 states, for a state, for a private company, or for yourself. All right? Let's go back. We're going to go now on our research a little bit further. And now we're going to go from there, tax on employers and employees. We're going to go to, here we go, subchapter C, okay, general provisions. General provisions has a lot of things, definitions in here. So we right-click on that, open that link in a new tab, and here's the answer. It comes up, subchapter C, general provisions. Within that, we have section 3121, definitions, key. Definitions are key. So we're going to go open up that link in a new tab, read 3121 for ourselves, and there it is, definitions, 3121. Okay, what does it say, 3121? Well, we covered up already. Definitions A was wages means all remuneration for employment, right? Now, what's employment? We go down to B. We talked about employment. Let's go down, refresh you guys a little bit on this key stuff, A and B. We talk about A. Let's go down to B. Now, here's interesting about B, which it says, for the purpose of this chapter, the term employment means any service or whatever the nature performed by an employee of an person employing him. Look at that. By an employee for the person employing him. Again, this is talking about federal government person by his employer, which is a government agency. With, you know, that's the employer. Okay. And it says, irrespective of the citizenship of or residence of either within the United States. That's a very interesting term, within the United States, or in connection with an American vessel or American aircraft on the contract service, which is entered into within the United States. It is interesting. You keep seeing the word United States, okay? Okay. Talks about, for example, outside the United States by a citizen or resident of the United States as an employee for an American employer. Right? So, and you got all this other stuff. Talk about, you know, agriculture workers lawfully admitted to the United States from Bahama, Jamaica, or other British West Indies. Right? All this stuff. What? Why do you have all this other stuff in here? Where's the average American, folks? All this stuff. There's no place the average American is listed. I'm not going to go through all this wording because simply you see that the average American is not listed there. You can do it for yourself at home. Slow down. Take your time. You know, all these definitions, they're all having to do with foreign commerce or Americans being outside the United States, you know, and foreigners being in the United States. However, what I'm going to show you is this now. The word United States is not the 50 states. Watch. It's not. Okay? It's not what you think. It's not California, New York, or Texas. We're going to get down to it now. Okay? We're going to go down, folks, in 3121 to E2. We have to scroll down quite a bit, folks. Let's get down to look for E2. Okay? Oh, look at that. Here's E. State, United States as citizen. For the purposes of this chapter, the term state includes the 50 states? No. The District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, and American Samoa. Wow! American Samoa and Guam are not, none of these are states. None of these are any of the 50 states like New York, California, Texas. They are territories of the United States, but government called them for whatever purpose they want, labeled them as states. Interesting. How about United States? Well, the term United States, when used in a geographical sense, well, that's the only sense that really matters. Thank you for letting us know. What is it? Includes the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, Guam, and American Samoa. Huh. That's basically the same as a state, except state, you have the District of Columbia added. What's interesting, deceptive definitions they got here, folks. They take the title to mention Guam, American Samoa. But nowhere is the 50 states anywhere in any way mentioned whatsoever. So when I talk about United States or state perhaps you saw, okay, and citizen even, they talk about these D.C. and these territories. For example, look at this. An individual who is a citizen of the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, someone from Puerto Rico, but not otherwise a citizen of the United States, because Puerto Rico is not a state. It's part of the United States, D.C., part of D.C., shall be considered for the purposes of this section as a citizen of the United States. Yep. Someone from Puerto Rico is a citizen of the United States. By the way, people from American Samoa are the only last American nationals left. Yes. For those of you who are to the national citizenship issue, just a comment. American Samoans are the only ones that are nationals of America. They're not state citizens, citizens of any state, or U.S. citizens. They're nationals. So anyhow, let's get back to all this, folks. So why this matters more? Because when we're going to go to this 3121B, back to definitions, right? Let's go back up to 3121B. You'll see, interesting, like employment, okay? We covered this. Employment of whatever nature. Oh, look at that. Within the United States. Oh, that means D.C., Puerto Rico, Guam, and American Samoa. Ah, how about a contract or service which is entered into within the United States, same thing. It was in D.C., Puerto Rico, Guam, Samoa. How about something that touches a port in the United States? Oh, yeah, same definition, right? All the stuff. You know, talking about a vessel or aircraft outside the United States. That's outside of D.C. Okay, someone who works with an airplane. Well, that's foreign commerce. Okay, look at that. So all the states in the United States is not the 50 states that you think it is. Now I'm going to show you, folks. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to show you that the Internal Revenue Code government is fully able, Congress, and does actually mention the 50 states when they want to, okay? I didn't get a chance to open it up earlier because I was so busy, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to bring it up for you. You can see it for yourself, okay? I'm going to look up a code section with you. You can do it just like me, okay? Here, watch. Okay, you're going to go look up 26 space USC space 4612, section 4612, space house.gov. So this is a refresher for you guys. I'll look this stuff up. So here we go. It comes up. The answer. Right-click on that and open that link in a new tab. Again, this is from House Representatives. Okay. What is this? From the Internal Revenue Code. Miscellaneous excise taxes. Environmental taxes. Tax on petroleum, on oil, folks. Tax on oil. Well, guess what? Tax on oil has definitions and special rules. For example, you know, it says for the purpose of this subchapter, crude oil includes oil condensate and natural gasoline. Okay, they found everything, right? Well, look at that. Domestic crude oil. The term domestic crude oil means any crude oil produced from a well located in the United States. Oh, look at that. The term United States is there again. United States. But what does United States mean in this subchapter? Well, let's go down and read it. Oh, there it is in four. United States. The term United States, look at that, means the 50 states. The District of Columbia is also mentioned. The Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. Any possession of the United States, right, that they may have. The Commonwealth of Northern Mariana Islands, which I bet you most of you have never heard about such a place. And the Trust Territory of the Pacific Islands, which, again, I bet you none of you even knew such a place existed. Is listed along with District of Columbia, 50 states, and a couple more places. So when it comes to oil, it's all the 50 states. You know, the government has these taxing powers. The tax imposed in all the 50 states. Pretty amazing, isn't it? You would think that, you know, the government, you know, They forgot to mention 50 states. No, they knew the 50 states. They knew the Northern Mariana Islands. Because they wrote the law in a trickery way to not let you know what the word means, to deceive you. And that's about deception to keep you in fear, my friends. Now I'm going to show you one Supreme Court case you will love also as well. Okay, we'll look it up together because I want you to know how to look up these Supreme Court cases, okay? We'll look up here for together case of Meese, M-E-E-S-E space V period space Keen, K-E-E-N-E, okay? Hit that term. Meese versus Keen. Here it came up. A couple of different sources happened. Well, I like the first one at justia.com. Open that link in a new tab. Here it is. Meese versus Keen, folks, 1987 U.S. Supreme Court case, right? Syllabus here is a summary of the case, okay? Right now, syllabus is up, okay? I don't want a syllabus. I want the whole court case. So if you go on the top right, go put your mouse on case, click on the case, the whole court case will come up. When you get a whole court case, here it is again, Meese versus Keen, 1987. And we're going to go down, folks, scroll down, to the section page 484, okay? And on page 484 is a very important word about definitions. Sometimes you got to do scroll down, folks. I'm sorry, okay? Here it is, folks. So What does it say? Let me go down just a little bit more. Here it is. It is axiomatic. What does axiomatic mean? It means self-evident. It means obvious. Look it up in the dictionary if you want, okay? Let's go back. It is axiomatic that the statutory definition, what's that? Statutory definition means definition made in law. Statute means laws. Passed by legislatures, lawmakers, they call them statutes. That's all. That's not the same as a statue of a beautiful woman or strong man. No, it means laws, okay? So definition of laws, okay? The way definition and laws, okay? So let's start again. It is axiomatic, self-obvious, that the statutory or legal definition of the term excludes unstated meanings of that term. So if the 50 states are not listed in these code sections about the Social Security tax, it's not there. This confirms that our reading of all this is absolutely right on the money, isn't it? Folks, you've been exposed to truth. I'm sorry. But you might be experiencing cognitive dissonance, which means that when you've been lied all your life for years and decades, when you finally see the truth, you might want to reject it. Because the truth that you're seeing is in opposition to the lies you've been told all your life. So your mind wants to reject the truth. No, it can't be. Everybody does it the other way. Everybody around us does it. It doesn't matter. They've been deceived. Satanic, evil, deception, and fear is exposed to you. And your love of truth, my friends, your love to search for the truth and finding the truth is now sitting you. Let's go a little bit further now. Okay. We're going to continue and read this part right here. Okay. And what does it say? It says, let's go down just a little bit more. Scroll down on this thing. Okay. It says, as judges, it is our duty to construe legislation, which means interpret, understand legislation. And all of us. As it is written. Yes. As it is written like we read. Not as it might be read by a layman. Layman is like you, the average person, who's not a lawyer or attorney. Or as it might be understood by someone who has not even read it. Yes. You never read these laws before. So you wouldn't know these definitions very specific and limited, but they are very specific and limited. Okay? Statutory definition of the term excludes unstated meanings of that term. Right? This is a well known, well established principles of law, folks. Congress of the United States knew when they were writing these laws how they were doing it. Now, I know what you're thinking. Man, Paymon, it's unbelievable. How did they do it? How did they get away since the late 1930s scamming the American people like this, deceiving us, right? I'll tell you. Here's how they did it, folks, and why they did it. The U.S. Constitution, which created the U.S. government and gave it certain powers, limited the taxing powers of the government, of the federal government. The states can do what they want, but the federal government cannot, has limitations. Now, to bypass some of those limitations, the 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was proposed and allegedly ratified in 13. It wasn't ratified as the Constitution, but they claim it was. Well, the Supreme Court said in a case called Bushaber versus Union Pacific Railroad Company in 1916 and other cases after that, that the 16th Amendment did not really change or get rid of the previous taxing restrictions of the Constitution, taxing powers. It didn't really give Congress any new taxing powers. So from 1913 until 1920s, very few Americans paid income tax. They try to tax corporate profits, you know, and they so they, but in 1930s, early 30s, we had a new president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a criminal crook agent of the international banksters. He's a man who by a legal, unconstitutional executive order, ordered that all Americans must turn their gold into U.S. government, otherwise they're going to go to prison. He was actually a lawyer for the banksters, Roosevelt. He hid that when he was running for election. He was a Secretary of Navy before in World War I, a warmonger. So he pretended to be mad at the people, to be against the bankers, but he wasn't. Part of his job was told to enslave the American people and the income tax system. Well, there was a problem. The problem was you couldn't enslave the American people legally within the 50 states. Actually, it was 48 states at the time. Alaska, Hawaii were not states then. So what he did, and his lawyers deceptively wrote the laws to limit the tax laws, like Social Security, to apply only to Washington, D.C. and maybe some of its territories, because they could do whatever they want in D.C., because D.C. is supposed to be the seat of the federal government. It's a place that the federal government could not be intimidated or abused or kicked out by state. That's why when they created the Founding Fathers, the federal government with the U.S. Constitution, they gave it that 10-mile square at Washington, D.C., because if it was in New York, New York could have edged out federal government, hey, you don't give New York special favors, we might push you out or, you know, hurt you because you're within our jurisdiction. Or Pennsylvania could have done the same. So that's why Washington, D.C. was given to the federal government to have independence from the states, who at the time were far more powerful than the federal government. All the powers at the time of the Constitution was in the states. The federal government was just newly created for a baby. So in D.C., the federal government was given basically to do whatever it wanted to do. Okay, so that's what the law, wrote the law in Washington, D.C. Egg for government employees themselves, because they can do whatever they want to in D.C. to those government workers. However, they did not bother to tell the American people that United States means Washington, D.C. You know, employee means someone who's an officer or employee of the federal government. They didn't tell you that. And laws were not available on internet to see and find like it is right now. Back then, you had to go look up law books. But law books back in the 1930s were very expensive still. And there were very few federal law books printed at the time. Only federal judges and very few lawyers who practiced federal law had them. Most laws are state laws. Very few federal cases happen. So these laws were basically published in secret, basically. The average person, or average lawyer even, had no access to these laws. So nobody looked them up. And they propagandized and lied Franklin Roosevelt that, you know, he's here to save us from the Great Depression. The only thing we need to fear is fear itself. All of the nonsense, and this is going to make old people, you know, safe and secure from the Great Depression and hurt, all the propaganda lies. The average person could not go look up, verify these things. Me, I got into all this stuff in 1992. I started Fear of Law School in 1996. So when in order to find laws, I had to go look up the law books. There was no internet with laws like this available. You had to go to a law library. And fortunately, there was a law library near me less than 20 minutes away. I had to drive there for 20 minutes almost, park the car, pay for parking, go upstairs to the Orange County Law Library in Santa Ana, California, look up the law book, which, oh, a friend of mine, thank goodness, a patriot, Bill McCarty, showed me how to look up for myself, and I did. I knew to find the right book, open up the right page like this, but except in a physical book this thick. Open it up. Here's the law. Oh, nice. But I can't take the book home with me to tab it. It's not my book. So I had to take it to the photocopy machine there, pay 15 cents a copy. So today's money is over 50 cents a page to make one copy of one of these sections. Okay? If I'm going to read the whole court case, 20 pages, I got to pay for 20 copies. And then take it home, put it in different folders in my desk drawer, label it what it is so I can look it up for future use. It was expensive, time-consuming, difficult, big hassle. What I'm giving you is going to take a long time to find and put the pieces of the puzzle together for you. Now I can put the pieces of the puzzle together for you, and you can, if you want, reproduce it on your own smartphone, personal computer, laptop, just like that. And folks, what we got to do, we got to get this information out to the American people, folks. That's the thing we got to do. Because the average American does not know they've been lied to. They don't know they've been ripped off. And we're not going to go anywhere by simply ignoring all this, are we? No. We got to get it out there. And now is the time for you to get it out. This is tax season by April 15th. Get people's attention. Is there a law that requires you to pay Social Security tax for your employer to withhold it from your paycheck? From you as someone that works for yourself, should you steal for your money, give it to the IRS? The Social Security tax? No, there isn't. So share this, folks. Do what you want to do, folks. That is, get this information out. This video to as many people as you know. Send it out there. Ask them to prove you wrong. Challenge them, folks. Have fun, folks. Have fun. On your Facebook page, YouTube channel, okay, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever. Email to your friends. Do that. And then, folks, you know, get this information out to as many people as possible. All right? Now, I'm going to let you guys ask questions about this or any other topic tonight. The number to call, folks, if you have questions, is area code 657-383-1755. We put it on the screen, James. We're going to put the number to call if you have questions on this or any other freedom topic is 657 383-1755. Then you have to push 1 on your keypad. Push 1 to ask a question. So remember that. You call 657-383-1755. Then push 1 on your telephone keypad. So while you guys are doing that, I'm going to go to see some of the YouTube commentaries that might be here. Okay. All right. Wake it up. Jaws still dropped? Yes, my friend. My jaws were dropped just like yours when I came across this information, okay? All right. By the way, I got to give credit to other individuals who showed me some of this stuff. One of them was Dave Champion's book, Income Tax Shining the Myths. Even though Dave doesn't want to talk to me, I don't know why. I try to work with a man, but you can ask him why. He's got a very good book on income tax. Also, Pete Henningsen has done very good material also on his website, author of the Lost Horizons book. And Greater Urban Schiff. Urban Schiff, folks, he was the late great Urban Schiff. That man woke up more people to the income tax fraud than anybody else out there that I know of. And Jerome Daly, Marvin Cooley, Bill Drexler, Bill Conklin, Bernd Holland, Bill Benson, Sean O'Connor, Dave Ellington, John Wild. There's so many other great people. Some, many of them dead, some still alive. That over the 27 years that I've been in this field of study, that helped educate me this information, and with my own research to put the pieces of the puzzle together for you, my friends. So that's it, folks. My presentation for tonight. Looks like no one has any more questions. I'm going to give one more announcement before I end the call, this program. Remember, what you want to do, folks, before I do that, let me get you what you want to do is this. You want to go to Freedom Law School's website. Let me give you some resources further to help you with all this, okay? Here, go to livefreenow.org. That's your tool for you, folks, okay? The website of Freedom Law School, livefreenow.org. Now, the Freedom Hour, you know, here it is. You know, if you click on that, here it is. It shows Thursday night at 7 p.m. Every Thursday night at 7 p.m., you can call and ask questions and listen to a new topic, okay? If you click on this YouTube link here, you know, and there you're going to see, it takes you directly to our videos. Within our videos, you're going to find different topics of interest. If you put your mouse on a topic that looks interesting to you, for example, it gives the full name of that presentation. Okay, but they're not as long as you see. Usually maybe the first 45 minutes to an hour is a presentation, then it's question and answers. So you don't have to listen to the whole an hour and a half or 2 hours, okay? So just scroll down, find a topic that you're interested in, listen to the one that you find most interesting to you. Another thing you want to do, resource, is go under course packages at livefreenow.org. I'm sorry, education materials. There's a lot of good information on education materials, folks, okay? Start with eye-opening education, income tax reward, educate Congress, and go down the line. People ask me how to stop income tax withholding. It is there. How to do it through writing Congress. There's so much here, folks. Start from the top. Eye-opening education, okay? That's where the best place to start, because here, by the way, it's been updated right now. You see a picture of my favorite U.S. tax court judge, former judge, Krupa, right? Who, under penalty of perjury, okay, signed 10 for income tax confession forms that she couldn't defend. Even though she's the foremost tax law expert ruling on tax cases in America, even she could not defend her tax return before a jury. And without challenging the criminal charges IRS brought against her, she made a guilty plea, made a deal with the prosecutors, and got a 34-month prison sentence. Yes, almost 3 years prison sentence. If she can't file her 1040 income tax confession form, how is you or your accountant or tax lawyer going to do better? Is that the safe way to go? Folks, share that with your friends, folks. Then they think, I'm going to file my tax returns. I want to be safe. Okay, here's a safe way to go. Check it out, folks. And so there are hyperlinks in these pages, folks. There are amazingly powerful information. Okay, check them out, folks. And there's a video, a few previous hour on this issue that I talk about this stuff. Watch the video on this page of how filing a 1040 is so risky. The most risky thing you can do is to file a 1040 income tax confession form. Put the rope around your neck and give it to the IRS. That's what you do. Okay? So, folks, that's it. I got to get ready for the Freedom Hour, folks. That's starting. I got to get to the all day seminar on Tampa at the Ramada Inn Hotel by the airport. By Tampa Airport. If you still want to come, you can come. $2.50 at the door, lunch included, hot lunch, so you can get, don't have to go look for a restaurant right there. They provide you food, hot lunch, not cold cuts. good lunch, warm. Eat it, enjoy it, relax. We're going to get more information for you, answers and solutions that work for you, my friends. Yes. And if you decide to upgrade, get our one of our simple or royal Freedom Package membership. Either one, simple Freedom Package or royal Freedom Package membership. Your admission, you paid for the free, for the conference this Saturday, will be fully credited toward your membership. So if you've been checking the Freedom Law School out, this is a good chance for you to come and check Freedom Law School out up close and personal. Meet me and get to know, I'll get a lot of your questions properly answered for you. And the seminar is free for anybody under age of 30. Under age, not 20, under 30. Bring your children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, okay? Bring young people. Young people don't have money in their 20s, okay? So as a subsidy for them, help the young people, I'll let them all come in for free. You just got to register and pay for food. We still have a few seats left, just a few seats left at the seminar. So if you want to register, be at the door, give us a call at 813-444-4800. So we know you're coming, who's expected to come. You still have to pay at the door price of $250, but at least we get an idea how much food we got to get, you know, tell the hotel in advance, okay? So call Freedom Law School at 813-444-4800 if you want to come to the seminar this Saturday 29th in Tampa. Okay, so with that, folks, I want to thank y'all for listening to me, folks. And I'm going to remind you, don't let the deception and lies bring fear in your heart to make a slave out of you, make you poor. Let the love of truth that you have in your heart, seek the truth, help you be free and prosperous. Let that love within you get this information out to others and do it with joy, knowing that you are doing the loving good thing, sharing it with others, even though they might be closed-minded. They might think, oh, I'm not interested. Oh, no, you're wrong. I'm afraid. Share it with as many people as you can. Share the love. Share the information as many people as you can and give them a chance. Give them a chance. Someone gave you a chance. Someone opened up your eyes weeks, months, or years ago to this kind of information. And that woke you up to the truth. And now you get to enjoy freedom and prosperity. Give them the same opportunity, folks. So again, all of us, with truth, freedom, prosperity, goodness, and love, we live a wonderful life, natural, like we were meant to live. Thank you for listening. I hope to see you either this Saturday or next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern at Freedom Law School's next Freedom Hour. Good night, everybody.
Okay.
When we can talk, right? Give me a thumbs up. Say we can talk.
Yeah.
That because thumbs up. Yeah. Okay. I'm supposed to talk. You let me, when you talk, I know we can talk. What's that?
I turned off master.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Yeah, yeah.
And then end episode, I guess I have to click that.
I have to go pee bad.